get ready for an hour of fishing, hunting, and outdoor events from all over the great state of Alabama. It's time for Alabama's Great Days Outdoors. Join Alan White, founder of Great Days Outdoors magazine, along with co-host John Felsher and special guests as they bring you the latest weekly updates from the woods and the water. Alabama's Great Days Outdoors is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Great Days Outdoors magazine. Now, here are Alan White and John Felsher.
Good morning, Alabama. This is Alan White with Great Days Outdoors magazine, along with John Felsher, outdoor writer and photographer. Welcome to the show, and thanks for listening today. John, we've got a lot on our plate today, man. It's the beginning of summer, the end of spring, and there's a lot going on.
I tell you, there's something going on just about everywhere, all over the place. We've got tournaments. We've still got some turkey hunting going on, although not in the state of Alabama, but in other states. And I want to hear about your Kansas turkey.
Oh, well, the Kansas turkey hunting is completely different than Alabama. So our first trip out there, Paul Finch and myself made a trip, hunted for 3 days. Those turkeys stay out in the middle of those big, wide-open spaces and fields out there.
The whole state of Kansas is a big, wide-open field.
It is, and the wind blows constantly most of the time, you know. But there are some beautiful areas. We saw some of the most beautiful woods America has to offer. You know, in the woodlands, it's beautiful. But out in the fields where the turkeys feel safe, they stay out in the middle of the fields, and unless you're a decoy hunter, you're not going to have much success. But we did manage to bring one home, and it was hard work, and we had a big learning curve, and next year we'll be prepared for Kansas turkey.
So are you going to break your own rule and take a decoy with you?
You know, I'm going to have to pray about that one a lot, because I don't know about that. But, yeah, I probably will. You know, if I want to bring a turkey home from Kansas, you just about have to use a decoy.
See, I grew up in South Louisiana, where if it puts meat on the table, we do whatever it takes.
I know.
Sometimes when the game ward's not looking, too.
Well, speaking of turkey hunting, the West Mobile chapter of NWTF is having a hunting heritage banquet May 13th, that's this Saturday night, right there on the grounds at Cody Road, 1035 Cody Road North. Doors open at 5. There'll be a live auction, a silent auction, and there's always, at all of these events, great food and drink and a lot of fun. So come on out and support the West Mobile chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation Saturday night. Let's get started with our fishing reports from all over South Alabama. First, the Mobile Tensaw Delta with Captain Wayne Miller. How you doing, Wayne?
Doing great, Alan. How are y'all?
We're doing good. You know, turkey season's over, so I'm ready to get back in the fishing mood again. So tell me what you hear about the water clarity, the conditions out there. What can I look forward to this weekend?
Well, I tell you what, man, this weekend looks like it's weather-wise is really going to be nice. And the conditions, as far as the Delta goes, everything's cleaning up. The water's really cleaned up quite a bit over the last week. And the rivers are down, you know, to normal stage now. It's the water temperature is, you know, running in the mid upper 70s. So, you know, it's been a good week as far as catching fish with the stain that we got on the water from this last high water event. It really slowed down the crankbait and spinnerbait bite quite a bit. But, you know, the soft plastic continues to be really good. I've caught quite a few fish this week with lizards and baby brush hogs, you know, creature baits. But there's been a lot of people catching some pretty big fish here on the Delta with frogs over the last week. You know, they're primarily fishing in the middle Delta, you know, some of the lakes, and that's primarily an early and late bite.
Yeah, the frogs sliding over the top of the grass, a lure that looks like a frog or even a mouse, seems to really excite bass.
Yeah, and it usually excites the right kind, the big ones.
Yeah, that's true. That's the most fun.
There's nothing like a big bass exploding up all through that grass to eat a frog.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, you know, when you look at what's available to the outdoorsman today, and fishing's no different from hunting. I mean, you just look at one specific lure like a frog. I mean, you know, 20, 25 years ago, you had maybe one or two different frogs you could buy, and now virtually every company out there just makes a pretty extreme, you know, line of frogs. Everything from, you know, ones on top, you know, the floaters, they have poppers, they have sinking frogs. It's just it's really amazing what's available to
and every
it.
Company says theirs is better than everybody else's.
Well, come on, John. You know, they got to do that. But
they all look alike.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think they put all those pretty colors on there to catch fishermen instead of fish. So.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, that's probably true. But, you know, I think, you know, a lot of times with those tight baits, it really boils down to what you have confidence in, what you've caught fish on before, and, you know, mm-hmm.
If you
got confidence in something, you're gonna work it, and you know you're gonna probably catch a lot more fish with it.
The best way I've found to work a frog, and Wayne, you've had a lot more experience than me in that, so tell me if this is wrong, is to throw it out right before it touches the water. You know, tighten up your line, reel in a little bit so it doesn't go down in there and get hung up, and then slide it across the ways, stop and go, twitch and go. Is that the way you...
Yeah, you know, the great thing about, you know, a lot of the popular frogs now, you know, I mean, they're hollow, but they're making them, they've got enough weight that they throw extremely good. But, you know, you can stop them there. They're not going to sink.
Right.
And so it's, you know, when you're looking at matted vegetation or even wood, I mean, you know, like a top or a log or whatever, you can work it across there really slow. And, most of these that they're making now, the better ones, you know, you can actually get that walk the dog action to them. So, you know, you can work it a lot, and you're not covering a lot of ground with it, and you can really tease some fish. I mean, you know, they...
Yeah, the more action you can put in it and the shorter the distance, that's the key to it.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I think sometimes they hit it more out of just being mad at it than wanting to eat it.
I think it aggravates them to some extent. Now, what do you hear from the crappie and bream guys out there?
I hadn't talked to a lot of crappie guys this week, but now the brim guys are just they're busting loose on the brim. I really wish I had a stand where I could sell crickets. I think I could unload some. I'm seeing just tremendous numbers of brim guys, and they all seem to be, you know, catching them pretty good.
That's good. You know, keeping up with my crappie fishing social media friends, it seems to be hit and miss on the Delta. Some people go out one day and catch a boatload, and the next day, you know, just four, five, six keepers, you know. So it's just hit and miss with the crappie right now. But we'll find out when the full moon happens. That's on the, I believe that's the 10th is the full moon. So that's why the brim are biting, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's, you know, but you know, if you had one species to target, regardless of whether you're talking about the Delta or anywhere else in the country, you know, those old brim, they'll usually play ball with you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, buddy. Well, Wayne, I appreciate the report, buddy. Tell us how folks can get a trip booked with you out there.
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Captain Wayne Miller, thanks a lot, bud.
All right, guys.
All right, we're going to go down to Gulf Shores and talk to David Thornton about the Gulf State Pier and the pier fishing down there and the shore fishing. How you doing, David?
Good, Alan. How about y'all?
Well, we got Memorial Day's coming up pretty soon, so you're probably looking at a lot of tourists coming down, some of them going fishing. Is there a big crowd on the pier lately?
Not too bad right now. You know, spring break is wound down, and everybody's kind of anticipating summer break in the future. But kind of in the middle, May is one of those months that the locals kind of get to have free reign of the pier, and that's the way it's been pretty much lately.
Good time to go then.
Yeah, it really is. The crowds haven't been too bad. Anytime the fish really start biting, word travels pretty quickly, and a lot of people, you know, start gathering up. Good news travels fast, mm-hmm. I guess.
What are they catching, and what kind of bait are you using?
Well, the pier had been slow. You know, we had a period of rough, muddy water, but now everything's getting lined up good. You know, like Wayne and the other guys were talking about the full moon, and that's bringing in the bait fish. The LYs are starting to show up, and we can catch those and use them for the bigger species that are showing up, like king mackerel and big Spanish mackerel, bluefish, Jack Crevel, even a few ling are still around.
You heard about any tarpon yet?
There have been some tarpon seen, yes, sir. They are coming through usually May. If it's been a fairly dry month, which this one has, is a pretty good time. Of course, that'll pick up as we get closer to summertime.
So the thing is just about a smorgasbord down there right now during May, right?
It really is, yeah. Speckled trout on the beach, mackerel on the pier. We got a lot of things going on right now.
David, I appreciate you writing for the magazine every month, and thanks for the report today, buddy.
Glad to. Anytime. Y'all have a great one.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more fishing forecasts for your weekend right after this. You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
If you own a business in South Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show, call 800-597-6828. Our show reaches all over South Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors Magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 800-597-6828 to get all the details. That's 800-597-6828, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure. Whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains, you'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Great Days Outdoors Magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Welcome back to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors with Alan White and John Felsher, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Once again, here are John and Alan.
And welcome back to the show. It's a beautiful day in Mobile, Alabama, and we've got Mike Thompson next to tell you all about the Causeway and the Northern Mobile Bay area for your fishing forecast this weekend. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing extra fine today, Alan.
Good deal. First of all, how's the shrimp supply this week, man?
Oh, man, they're not having any problem getting the shrimp, and they're beautiful shrimp.
Oh, good.
You know, not quite eating size, but they're not having any problem getting the shrimp, so this weekend looks good for live shrimping.
Good deal. Well, what's biting and what do we need to
be
throwing?
You know, we got a full moon now, so everybody's thinking brim, and last few days they've been catching a few brim, you know, 20, 25, here and there, you know, up in Burns Lake, and I also been catching some in McAvoy. All these duck blinds you see in these lower delta bays, if you got any clear water, that'd definitely be a place to try with some live crickets. You know, we got a lot of muddy water in the river, and, you know, it's been like, as they say, a double-edged sword. They were catching the devil out of redfish in North Pass. However, they got a little bonus baby thrown in there, too. The channel cats have moved in there when the muddy water pushed them down the river. And Larry Scott tells me that the cats are just parked in there. And you go in there with some live or fresh dead shrimp. If you fish the deeper part of North Pass, you'll catch the cats. If you fish the shallow edges of the pass, you'll catch a redfish. He said the redfish are really good size, 18 to 24 inches. He said the catfish are pretty good eating size, a pound and a quarter to 2 pounds. So that's something really good, and he said it's been going on for the past 3 days. So if you get a chance to get out there, you want to try that. Now, the specks on the eastern shore, you're having to go pretty far down to Point Clear till you get into some saltier water, but they're catching a few at the reefs down there. They're also catching a few specks in the Mobile River in the deep slips like they do most of the time. So there's all kind of places to go to catch some fish, and you just need to get out there after them.
Did a lot of that fresh water coming down the delta, did that kind of stain the bay a little bit around the causeway?
Yeah, it's pretty brown just below the causeway. I mean, it's stayed with us here now for several days, but it'll clear up after a few more tide changes, and yeah, the fish will come back too. The redfish were already up in the rivers and in the creeks, right at the mouths of the creeks, and then that water in there doesn't get, you know, it's muddy. The water kind of bypasses and goes right down the river, but it's pushed those catfish down around the mouth of Hieronymus Pass near Lake Forest if you fish in the middle of the river. As a matter of fact, you know, just for a test run, Barry out there at Scott's, he dropped his net over to see if there was any shrimp in there, and he said, shoot, man, he got 20 or 30 catfish in a shrimp net, you know, freshwater cat.
That's a pain getting them out of there.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a silver lining to that, as we all know.
Hey, nice, good table fare.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, there's nothing better, you know, than a fresh fried catfish. I'm up here almost to Natchez. We're on our annual Brimapalooza fishing trip. We're going to Faraday, and we're going to try to catch some brim on this full moon. But I'll tell you what, if we can find the catfish, I'd much rather have those cats than the brim. We got one heck of a weekend planned. It's a redneck rebellion.
All right.
We're going to have a pistol shooting contest. We're going to have the world championship of horseshoes. We're going to catch brim. We're going to have a crawfish boil. It's like going to heaven.
Sounds like a good plan there. Is that Lake Concordia?
We're going to Concordia, and we'll probably fish St. John's, too.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time over there.
Mike?
Absolutely.
Mike, getting back to the causeway, has any flounder showed up yet?
Very few. They're catching a few off the seawall. It's hit or miss. You know, it's just that muddy water doesn't help anything.
Right.
It really got muddy over there, and it's kind of pushed them out. The most amount of flounder I've been hearing about is coming from Theodore Canal. They're catching a few flounder down there on Bull Minnows.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that there's some specks and some salty water around Point Clear. I got a friend that loves to fish down that way, so maybe he'll go out and catch some fish this weekend.
Well, that's a real pretty down there area to fish anyway. So you find those specks, I bet you find a nice mess of white trout as well.
All right, Mike. Man, we appreciate the report.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Well, let's head on up the river, or up the state, I should say, up to Lake Martin area and talk to David Hare, who's been on some stripers lately. David, what's been going on up in your area?
Oh, man, beautiful weather and the bite zone. It's just everything's going good. How y'all been?
We doing real good. You've been putting some stripers in the boat. How you doing that?
Early in the mornings, I'm catching some on top with live bait, and then once, you know, about an hour after the sun's been up, you know, hour and a half, I'll move down to deeper water and finding these fish down the 50, 65 foot of water and downlining live bait down on them.
Now, do you ever use a downrigger for that?
Well, not live baiting, no, sir. We do some downrigging with artificial stuff for sure. Do some trolling. We specialize in live baiting. That's their favorite thing. But, yes, sir, we do have to downrig and throw artificial, especially during the summer. If you don't do a night trip, you just about have to use downriggers.
Well, it's hard to mess with the fresh meat looking at them right there in the face, and that's what they're there for, to eat those kind of things. But have you been catching any on artificials lately?
Yes, sir. In fact, yesterday we caught some on top artificial yesterday. No, that's on top. I haven't been doing any trolling with artificial.
I bet that's a hoot when you get a big old striper to bust on a topwater bait like that, huh?
Yes, sir. You can pitch those blue and silver and black and silver red fins out there at daylight and then at dark, and they'll wear them out.
Now, are they schooling now? They're chasing the shed, or what's going on?
No. They're schooling down deep together, but they're not up on top by no means. You know, it's you don't see them blowing up on top. You just know some places you can get them to come to the top.
All right. So as the sun comes up, they go down, and you said 50, 60 feet of water. Are you looking for any particular kind of structure?
Yeah, I like being real close to the lake channels, the creek channels, and all, and long, long points where they're dropping off in deep water. That's my favorite place to find the ones that I'm fishing deep for.
All right. Sure appreciate the report. That's
yes, sir.
David Hare. He's up there at Lake Martin. And if you want to book a trip with David, just call at 256-401-3089 and have a good time up there at Lake Martin. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Let's go up the country a little bit to Miller's Ferry and see what's happening with Mr. Joe Dunn. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, how's the water up there, man?
Looking a little bit better. It was a little bit dingier than I thought last week, but it's done cleared on up a good bit now. The river was still looking better. Some of the sloughs were a little bit more stained than the river. The river was real clear.
Well, how about the crappie, man? They still on?
Yeah, they're still biting. The shallow water bite's starting to slow down a little bit more now, and like I said, they're starting to ease out. You and that 8-9 foot of water, you know, around the stumps and stuff. The river bite's starting to pick back up, but it, you know, it's not like in the fall where you bottom bounce way down deep. It's up higher on the ledge right now and mostly keying in on wood. Caught several pretty good fish out, you know, like I said, on the edges of the river and some wood, you know, around 14 feet. You know, that's where they seem to be holding pretty good at right now.
You know, this kind of conditions that you're describing is perfect for spider rigging along a little ways and then stopping at this structure.
Oh, yeah. And did a little jugging last weekend, too, and actually did better with that. We set out two sets of 20, and our first run, I think we had 10. Baited back up, run it again, and had 15. So did real good on the jugs. They was out in the flats.
What size are they averaging?
These were all just good eating size fish, you know, around a pound and a half, some up to maybe about 2 pounds, but no real big ones, none of the giants yet. We did run a set of jugs out in the river, too, some of the longer ones.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have any good luck. Didn't do much on those at all yet.
So the cats are up on the flats?
Still in the flats right now. And using, you know, cut shad, still the king up there. Saw some other guys using some other stuff. But you're not doing the shad's what you need to have on there right now.
You know, that I never forget the trip we made up there. My wife and I came up there. We put about 25 jugs out early one morning. Then we went crappie fishing. And we caught crappie. We came back. We had about 15 mm-hmm. catfish. We chased them around all over the place. It was a wonderful
That's
time.
That's good times there. Now, what's going on with the bass, Joe?
They're still catching some pretty good bass, too. they, you know, pretty much through spawning, but they're going to be hanging around some of that grass and stuff up in the flats and in the, you know, along the edges of the channel right now. The river bite has picked up a good bit, you know, with the crankbaits. I know talked some that did real good with the crankbaits this past week. So, you know, like I said, it's starting to transition. You know, this is the month that everything's starting to move around a little bit.
Well, the full moon was on the 10th, which was Wednesday, so the effects of that full moon last about 3 to 5 days afterwards and before it, so it ought to be a good weekend.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing I need to tell, saw a lot of willow flies. They're starting to hatch.
Saw
a lot of brim, you know, up around the banks where you come by and you just ride along. You see them falling in the water somewhere and then go to flipping up in there, and you can catch plenty of bull brim right
Get
now.
The fly rods out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and a friend went by the store in Bay Minette yesterday and bought some popping bugs. He's getting into, you know, fly fishing for brim, and I was telling him about those willow flies. That's a good spot to start.
I'll tell your friend to put me on his boat. I'll give him some free lessons.
Yeah, we could all get some free lessons for a free fishing trip.
Right, I'll deal that deal.
Joe,
I saw the willow flies that too. I was flipping my crappie jig down in there and caught several big catfish, you know, about a pound and a half.
Well, that's
and the
just
little
shit.
Bellies was tummy was just rounded out, and you could tell they've been gorging on those willow flies.
Well, yeah, and everything is going to be around those willow flies. The brim are eating the flies, and then the bass and the catfish are eating the brim that are up there eating the flies.
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. You have a great weekend, Joe. We appreciate your report, bud.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to be back with one of our primo riders. Mr. Daryl Bell will be with us. He writes our wildlife management column for us in Great Days Outdoors magazine, and I'm looking forward to that interview. Y'all stick around with us. We'll be right back.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Hi, this is Guy Harvey, and you're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors.
And welcome back to the show. Once again, I want to remind everybody that the NWTF West Mobile Chapter is having a hunting heritage banquet this Saturday night. The location is going to be at the grounds, 1035 Cody Road North in Mobile, Alabama. Doors open at 5 o'clock. There will be a live auction and a silent auction. Come on out for a great night of fun and support the National Wild Turkey Federation. Daryl Bell is our wildlife management writer and expert for the magazine. I'm happy to have him on the show today. Daryl, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Alan, how you doing today?
We're doing good, man. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama. I can't complain about
it's
that.
It's getting hot, finally.
The only thing I can complain about is being in this studio instead of out on my boat. But you know,
I wish I was out on a boat myself.
Well, Daryl, I want to talk first of all about summer food plots. Everybody's starting to think about what can I plant now, and there's a lot of considerations, I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not the expert here, but the first thing I'm thinking is if you've got food plots that have grown high up. You know, the wheat has grown high up. I don't really want to mow those down and replant them right now because the turkey poults are going to use those areas for bugging. And so I want to leave that until the turkey poults get big enough to eat seeds, you know. The first week or two of their life, they just eat bugs, so we need to leave that habitat for them. But in other areas where, you know, you've already bush hogged or prepared the ground, or maybe it's not really high grass that produces lots of bugs, what are some of the selections that you're going to recommend for summer food plots for wildlife?
Well, I mean, I really mix I mean, as far as what I recommend is really on a, you know, a site-by-site basis. There's a couple of different things you could go with. Obviously, if they're big enough areas, I like to put them in soybeans. You really can't beat a giant big soybean field. It's really on a site-by-site basis, though. For instance, we have a property I'm planting this weekend, which is a little behind. The corn should already be in really about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but we're putting it in this weekend, and it's going to have cowpeas, sun hemp, corn, soybeans. I mean, it's going to have a good mix of everything on it. As far as the summer goes, you really can't go wrong with any type of summer legume, like a soybean, a cowpea, sun hemp, anything like that.
Well, we're going to plant some soybeans this week, too. We've got a big field that's not, you know, it's very low grass. It's not a bugging habitat, so we're going to plow that up and plant our soybeans there. But one of the things you said about site-specific recommendations, you know, we talked last week about one of the areas that I have is a skinny, long, skinny power line. And on each side of the power line, there's pretty tall trees, so the power line doesn't get enough light to support much, you know, growth. And so I asked you last week to recommend something I could plant in that kind of situation. And clover, chicory, and a little bit of wheat mixed in is what you said they're planting that.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with a good clover blend either. The problem we run into down here is on big clover stands, it tends to just get so hot that it burns clover out.
Right.
But I do, you know, on an area like that, it would be perfect for it. Somewhere that's got plenty of shade where it's not catching sunlight all day long. For instance, the 5-acre field I was just talking about, this fall we'll actually be planting a clover strip all the way around the edge of that field in between the corn and the tree line so that it does catch shade through most of the day and we don't have to worry about the clover burning out. You know, it is a little late to try to establish clover. It's so hot by now that you probably wouldn't have good success starting it. So what I would recommend doing is either seeding it this fall, you know, late fall, early winter, for a good spring germination, or just waiting until next spring to really get a good clover stand started, depending on what type of clover you're putting in.
Here's what I plan on doing is planting my chicory next week and just overseed it with clover in the fall.
Yeah, you could do that. What I would probably do, I definitely see chicory is a great, great option. You know, my deer don't seem to hit chicory too hard for whatever reason. They tend to really pick through the chicory and get the clover. So, you know, it really depends, like I said, site specific. So what I would probably do is definitely seed in your chicory. But in the fall, I would probably go with like an arrowleaf and a crimson clover and a wheat mixed in there together. And then I would wait until next spring, and then I would seed a Ladino, some type of white Ladino or white Dutch clover into that stand next spring. And that would give you a real good monoculture of clovers and, you know, some wheat to mine some of that nutrients, some phosphorus and potassium that the clover doesn't have and that it needs supplemental fertilization for. And once that clover goes to seed next spring, it will it'll die and release that phosphorus and that potassium right there into that clover. It'll keep you from having to fertilize it.
Well, and another thing I want to mention, too, is a lot of people don't realize it, but this is the time of year to start planting a dove field.
Yeah, it depends on what you're going to make. Sunflowers, definitely. I have sunflowers right now that are they're probably over waist high, I would say. They're not quite ready to bloom, but they're already pretty high. I put my sunflowers in a little early this year, but it's definitely not too late, that's for sure. It's definitely right on time to do it. I just chose to put mine in a little early due to some time constraints. This time of the year, I'm always pretty busy, so I decided to go ahead and get that knocked out early.
I found out one thing about planting sunflowers. Deer love small sunflowers.
they do.
They will eat you out of house and home. If you don't plant a lot of it, you might as well forget it.
Yeah, that's right. And you could always mix something in there with the sunflowers to take some of the pressure off of them. Any type of like cowpeas would be a good option to mix in there, depending on the type of habitat you're trying to promote. But something to grow up the stalk of that sunflower to kind of take the pressure off of it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, anything that's going to take the pressure off something like that, like your soybeans, mixing cowpeas into your soybeans is a really good option. They're both legumes. If you're planting a soybean that gets up real tall and has a real tall stalk, the cowpeas will grow right up the stalk of that soybean too, take some of the pressure off of them. Cowpeas can withstand a lot more browse pressure than the soybeans can. And the sunflowers.
You mentioned planting corn. It may be a little bit late for corn, but I think it'll still work. And one of the things we did years ago that really worked for deer is drop a few velvet beans along in every row of corn. The deer love those velvet beans, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it is a little late to plant corn. Like I said, I'm actually trying something different this year. We did it last year on what I guess I could call a test plot. And I'm sure you're familiar with the regular bags of corn that you can buy at Walmart. They're just $6 bags of corn. We overseeded an acre with that corn last year and disked it in to see how it would do. And it actually got about 5 to 6 foot tall and produced about 5 to 6 inch long ears on it. And we sprayed it with Roundup when it got to, about knee level, did the weeds out of it, and it was Roundup ready too. So that's what we're going to do this year for our corn. Instead of buying high dollar seed corn, we're just going to buy a couple of bags from Walmart and go with that.
That's cool. That's a good tip, man. What else you recommend we do out there in the woods and to improve habitat right now?
I mean, it is getting to the hotter part of the season. I like to try to get most of my habitat work done with by wrapping up by the middle of May or so, just because it's starting to get so hot, the ticks are coming out, turkey season's over with. So I really don't like to go tromping off in the woods too much this time of year. I'm really trying to concentrate on my food plots and getting some summer food into them. Most people ignore that. Down here, it seems like most people are more concentrated on their fall food plots, and they're really missing the entire antler growing season for their whitetails. They're really missing all of it, and they're not giving them the nutrients when they really need it the most. So right now, I'm really just concentrating on getting some summer food in there.
Darryl, how about mineral blocks? Is this a good time for mineral blocks?
Yeah, I don't lean too heavily on mineral. I like to put them out twice a year, really. Once around the time the bucks start growing those antlers back, which is now, is a great time. I put mine out last month. And I'll leave those out, all through the summer, and then I'll freshen them up again right about the time the does will start dropping their fawns, and they need those trace minerals to produce that milk, and for the fawns as well. My fawns tend to hit my mineral sites pretty hard, but that's really all I lean on. And again, in the spring too, deer really need that salt and those mineral blocks. Like Trophy Rock is a really good one I like to use. Has a lot. It's mined right there in Utah. Has a lot of good trace minerals in it, but they really need that salt in there to drop some of that water that's in everything right now. All the browse is full of water, so they really need that extra salt to dry it up this time of year. Okay. So it's definitely a good time of the year for mineral blocks for sure.
Well, Darryl, we're about 4 months from dove season starting. What do you recommend on getting ready for that?
Oh, I mean, really just the same thing, getting your fields ready, getting your food in. Everybody knows if you have the food, the doves are going to be there. So, like I said, our sunflowers are already, we probably planted them a little early, but they're already right around waist high. So just really getting your food in there. This time of the year, the wildlife, everything's blooming out this time of the year, leafing up and greening out. So, they have the browse, but just got to get the quality food in there to prepare for later in the year when it's not going to be as plentiful.
Darryl, when is the best time to fertilize your natural browse and nut bearing trees?
Well, see, I'm not a huge fan of fertilizing natural. Are you talking about just natural areas that
like
are just
honeysuckle? And if you have a patch of honeysuckle, you want to really sweeten it up. You don't recommend fertilizing that?
No, I don't really fertilize any of that. Nature pretty much does it. Does a good job of that on its own. And as far as your nut-bearing tree, your oaks and things like that, I mean, we've done studies in the past have proven that you really don't see a huge, difference in your yield when you go to trying to fertilize or lime oak trees. So I really, as far as my nut-bearing trees, my oaks and my you know, anything like that. I really leave them alone. Now, I'll fertilize my fruit trees. Now is a good time to do that. Any time is really good to fertilize your fruit trees up until about August. I don't recommend fertilizing them after August. But, yeah, if you have some fruit trees, some persimmons, or anything like that on your property, now is a great time to do it.
Sounds good, Daryl. Hope you have a great weekend, and thanks for being on today, buddy.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with another special guest talking about a fishing tournament coming up.
You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
If you own a business in South Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show, call 800-597-6828. Our show reaches all over South Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 800-597-6828 to get all the details. That's 800-597-6828, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today. This is Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine and the Alabama Department of Conservation. Here are your hosts, Alan White and John Felsher.
Welcome back to the show. This is John Felsher with Alan White, and we're talking about the 12th annual Old Nick's Redfish Roundup, hosted by Trailer Made Tournaments. Is coming up on Saturday, May 20th, 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., a $12,000 payout. It's coming to you at courtesy of Nick's Seafood Restaurant, 7585 State Highway 20 in West Freeport, Florida. So for more information on that, call 850-835-2222, or you go on Facebook and see Trailer Made Tournaments, and it'll tell you all about it. And right now we've got the owner of Nick's Seafood, Trey Nick, is on the line with us to tell us a little bit more. So, Nick, welcome to the show.
Man, how you doing today? I appreciate y'all having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Well, tell us what's going on next week, May 20th, Redfish Roundup.
That's right. On May 20th, you know, we're doing a big redfish tournament. This is the 12th year we've done a redfish tournament. This has been a growing trend in the Chattahatchee Bay in this area that we've done, and we're getting more and more participation in it. So we decided to make it bigger and bigger every year, and so our annual event is starts next Saturday, one day redfish tournament.
Now, is it just redfish, or can you catch other things too?
Well, this is just a redfish tournament, but now I do have a speckled trout tournament that we open up the floodgates for. You know, we let them catch trout and redfish, you know, and we have trash fish divisions. We have a catfish division for the kids also.
Going on in conjunction with the tournament, two tournaments running together?
Yes, they will. It'll be our trout tournament is a month-long event. It starts May 1st and goes through May 31st. But our redfish tournament is a one-day event just on May 20th. But now the redfish tournament has turned into the, shall I say, the Talladega of redfish tournaments.
All right. Well, what are some of the rules? Is it a one fish or what?
This is a two-person team event. We start them here in the Chattahatchee Bay behind Nick's restaurant between the hours of 5 and 7. So we let them do a blast off between those 2 hours, but they must check in with a committee boat, which I will be on the committee boat along with Sarah Heinley, checking in these fishermen before we send them off. So, there's no boundaries where they can go fishing, but they must start and finish in the Chattahatchee Bay.
Tell us a little bit about Chattahatchee Bay. Our Alabama listeners might not know that much about it. Tell us a little bit about that fishery.
It lays north of Destin. People probably have heard of Destin or Fort Walton Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And from that, it runs eastward of Fort Walton Beach, to Freeport, to a little town called Freeport. It's just east of Freeport. And
that's where your restaurant is, Freeport.
It's Walton. What's that again?
That's where your restaurant is, Freeport.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're on the east end. Freeport would be on the east end of the Chattahoochee Bay. And it incorporates Walton and Bay County. I'm sorry, Walton and Okaloosa counties is the county that the Chattahoochee Bay lays in.
I believe that the Chattahoochee River flows into it. Is that right?
That's right. And it originates up there just outside of Dothan, Alabama, you know.
That's a good fishery up there. I've fished that area before, and now Destin is world famous as an offshore destination. People going out there to the big water, catching marlin and king mackerel and all kind of fun things. But the inshore fishing around Destin is pretty good too.
Oh, it's phenomenal! I tell you what, it's driven by the Chattahoochee River, of course, you know, and the river stage and what the river brings down really feeds this bay, and it's really a healthy waterway for sure, and it's a healthy body of water. And I grew up all my life fishing it, you know, and I commercial blue crab on the Chattahoochee Bay too. So I get to see it firsthand and watch it wake up every spring. You know, I watch it come alive every spring, and I watch it go to sleep in the fall. You know, so it's a great place to grow up. And you know, I decided to do a speckled trout tournament first, and then it evolved and had a lot of redfish fishermen here in this area that wanted just a redfish tournament, so we decided to do the redfish tournament.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this month-long speckled trout tournament. Is that just for Chattahoochee Bay, or is that all over?
Yeah, the month-long speckled trout tournament that I do, I started that 17 years ago, and we went from, you know, from a two-week tournament to two weekends, and then we did a week-long, and then I said, you know what, let's make it easy for everybody and just do it for the whole month of May. And so with that being said, we make a minimum entry fee on the speckled trout tournament, $30 to enter the tournament. But the big rule is a big fish tournament. We judge the speckled trout tournament as a big fish tournament.
One big fish.
Sir?
One big fish. You got to bring one big fish, right?
Yeah, we're judging it on your biggest and best fish. Okay. And I limit these anglers to only three fish in the month. They get to turn in only three times, and so we're not out there to kill a lot of trout. You know, I mean, we can load the box down if we wanted to, but it's not about that for us. We want your best fish, but we're limiting that to only three fish.
So if you got a 5-pounder that you turn in and you think you're doing all right, and then a week or two later you get an 8-pounder, you want to turn that one in instead, you knock that 5-pounder out of there, huh?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So if you tap out, you know, you tap out on, you know, on a 5 1/4-pound trout, you know, and then that's your last weigh in, that's your last fish, and then these guys start showing up and they're putting 6-pounders on the board, and then you're out of the money real fast, like.
well, we're out of time almost, but just real quick, give us how can people find more information about your tournaments?
You can go to nickseafoodrestaurant.com /tournaments. And we'll have all that information there about our redfish tournament coming up on May 20th.
All right. And that does it for Alan and myself today. And to all the ladies out there, happy Mother's Day.